for the sake of the very special few who have been listening to part one of this audioboo recorded on the road from Cork to Limerick to Cong in the west of Ireland, I just want to say that I apologise. Apologise because I didn't notice when I ran out of my maximum recording time. What I will tell you is that I've been talking out loud to myself in the car while stopped in front of a fire engine. I haven't a clue what's going on up there. And I'm beginning to think I should turn off the engine. Does it actually save you petrol if you turn off the engine while in a queue like this and then turn it back on when the queue starts to move? Or would you consume less petrol if you remain stationary with the engine just ticking over? Is this a really important question? Is this like, does this stack up there with what's the meaning of life? By the way, the answer to that is 42. Or at least where I'm coming from, it's 42. My business partner gave me a great question this week. This is called time filling until the car moves. We were discussing what are great questions to kind of get people focused on really serious stuff in an acceptable way. And, you know, in a different way from the kind of questions you might ask. And one of them might be, what's the meaning of your life? Or even, you know, I want you to answer this question, what has your life meant? Imagine that you're, meeting St. Peter at the pearly gates, or whatever else you care to believe in. What is Peter's question? Is it this, you know, account for yourself, old woman. Account for yourself, aged man. What was the meaning of your life? What will be the meaning of your salvation? What will salvation mean to you? What is your heaven? What is your state of grace? What will you be like when you are blessed, anointed, chosen, saved, resurrected, elevated, assumed? Why is it that a woman was assumed into heaven and a man resurrected into heaven? They're like questions which I might have answered way back in the days, in the time when I went to Lourdes. I wish I were as well versed in the Hindu gods, as I am in the Christian gods. Although that's a desecration. There aren't Christian gods. There's one God in three parts, or three. Well, there we get into. Not sure I want to avoid the Nicene. I'll have to refer to McColgan on this one. Not sure what the, not calumny, but what the schisms, which schism dealt with the question of the number of parts in God. Well, that was an interruption for a phone call from my brother. And my brother said something wonderful to me. He said that your business cards will be able to be collected at 6:10. And for reasons I won't go into on this particular audioboo, that really is a very good thing for me and my morale in relation to the weekend. I guess if I was in a situation where the phone call was really vital, I would be incredibly grateful to my smartphone for allowing the phone call to interrupt the recording of the audioboo. And you know, and didn't leave me recording an audio boo while there was something very serious going on in the world that I ought to know about. But what I will say is that I'm still parked behind. In fact, nobody's going anywhere. Bloody hell. I don't understand what's going on up here. Nobody's moving. Everything is stationary. And I suppose this is sent to give me practice for the rest of my life. I believe it's been sent to give me practice at patience. And you know, I am a person who could do with some practice at patience. I can be impatient. Now, I know when I'm talking here on Audioboo, I don't show any signs of impatience. I'm very cool, calm and collected and all that, but you know, in the unreal world that people call real, or in the weird world that people call real. Now, let me give you this. There's an incident ahead of me. I see a guy in a yellow hat. I see a guy in a luminous jacket. He's the same guy. He's fully kitted out, and he's about to tell me how I get out of this situation. There's no fire that I can see, but obviously something has happened. I don't know where to go. I want to go to Limerick, but I'm a bit of a stranger to this road. Will it be easy to follow?
Follow that cow.
Bye-bye. Follow that car. I'm going to follow that car wherever that car will lead me. I'm going to follow that dream wherever that dream will lead me. Okay, you heard the voice of a genuine salt-of-the-earth Irish firefighter. So, Fireman Rich, over there in New York State, in one of the parts of, what's the right name, the districts, I think it is, am I wrong, of New York State. New York State has something like 72 districts or something like that. It's an enormous state. We only think of Manhattan, I think, here. But it's huge. By Irish standards, it would be very big. I hope this guy doesn't change his mind and decide to go to Wexford instead, because I'm following him. We've been sent on a detour, but everything has happened so quickly that there aren't any signposts up. It's very dark. It's clouded overhead. If I try to use my sat nav on my iPhone, I'm going to have a problem. I'm going to have a problem anyway, because I suspect that now I'm going to discover that my phone is running out of battery. Because I'm now trying to do something I shouldn't be doing, which is put the car charger into the phone without causing myself to go off track. I could tell you that I have a robot doing this and I'm hands-free while the robot is trying to get the charge into the iPhone, but I'm going to admit that I did it myself. And I'm still following the lights of that car, and for all I know, the guy behind me is following the fella in front of me, following me. So we're on a train. This is a train of thought. I mean, this could be sending us anywhere. I was hoping to spend time with my mom. I still am. I'm determined to have... She's in a nursing home in Limerick. But it's certainly destroying the amount of time I'll have with her, because she will want to go to sleep, I imagine. And my mum, I haven't really been in the nursing home when she goes to sleep, but I suspect that she goes to sleep not long after 7 o'clock. She'll probably confound my assumptions by asking me to stay and play poker with her. That's a joke, by the way. That was a joke. My family members would... my mother was a great card player, terrific card player, and at home in the house, the following games were played in the way of cards, and I'm going right back to childhood now. 45, 110, poker, pontoon, oh dear, I'm following this guy, okay, right to Dune, left to couple more. For all I know, this guy is a... You know, he launders diesel in the countryside in Ireland, and he's trying to find a So he told the fire brigade he was going to Limerick so that he could find a back road where nobody would follow him. But I'm on his trail. Anyway, where was that? Pontoon, 45, all those things I mentioned. Then we get into a game called Solo. You'll have to look these up if you've never heard of them, but, you know. And Bridge. And, of course, Snap. And, well, I know how to play cheese, and I don't think I knew how to play cheese when I was young. Patience was played. And whatever the card game in which you drop all the cards down and you have to pick them up in pairs, you know. I've never been any good at that. My daughter could beat me at that today, and she's only 8. So my mother was a great card player, and a lot of time was spent around a circular table with green glaze, is it, or baize, anyway, whatever it is, green stuff that covers the table, and, you know, a pack of cards kept in the right way. Now, I'm probably going on to the days when we used to play bridge. Now, the fact that I used to play, well, I was never any good, let's get that clear. Although my uncle played bridge for Munster. I don't think he played for Ireland, but he played I think he and my aunt played together. I mean, is it a good idea for a married couple to play bridge together as partners? Very interesting conundrum, that. I don't know if anybody has done a global survey of that. They're the kind of questions I really want answered. Is it a good idea? And if so, you know, what's the evidence of that it being a good idea? You know, what are the statistics on divorce rates among people who have played bridge together as opposed to people who have played bridge separately? That would be a interesting one in its own right. And how does that compare with the what's the phrase, the normal population? That's the wrong phrase. Anyway, with the others who don't play bridge. And okay, this is overhanging tree country, right? You're all the time in a situation which in daylight in the summer would be glorious, even in the winter on a clear day with light streaming through, you know, the denuded branches of the trees, the gaunt and deluded branches of trees, and, you know, trees that are barely moved by the wind, because when the leaves are gone off the trees, the wind barely moves the trees. Yeah, if it wasn't for leaves, we wouldn't have shaking trees, would we? Okay, I'm now coming to another sign. This one is a 50 kilometers per hour. I'm actually doing 62, but I haven't entered the 50 yet. So, you know, out of due deference to those of you who believe in keeping the law, I've slowed down. But if the guy in front of me... Oh, we're going to Cappamore. This is a real... I have never come to Limerick via Cappamore from Glanmire in Cork. I mean, if the whole weekend carries on like this, I'll be driving around Loch Corriban, Loch Mask, in the wrong direction, looking for Cong. They're very big lakes, by the way, where there's very good fishing. Now, have you considered Ireland as a fishing... Sorry, this is a time for an ad break. Sorry. Yes. How about fishing in Ireland? When's the last time you taught your children to fish? When's the last time you had a go at tying flies yourself? Well, Ireland is a country where you can tie flies until the crows come home. And Ireland is a country where you can introduce your children. You don't have to just use Robert Redford's film about, you know, casting flies. What's it called? On Something Bound? Or a beautiful, beautiful, sumptuous piece of filmmaking in which, you know, I think he might have directed it himself. Hard to say anybody else did it because it was so beautiful. I mean, not a bit like this. It was cold today here in Cork. That's the Garda station. Now in Ireland, I mean, they're exotic. The light, the bulb is inside a housing, so the light is pushing, you know, illuminating the glass, and very exotic. Who designed the Garda Síochána? Wordmark, logo. I mean, who designed their branding, really? Who worked on it with them? Where did it come from? It has iterated, if you like. Ah, Maru to the right, Limerick straight ahead, and Calargas Agent Green's there too. And there's a big sign here saying, for Limerick. Turn right, I think it means. Road ahead closed. God, for Limerick go through Maru? Now here is dangerous. Here is seriously dangerous because I don't know whether the road I'm going down along is going to take me towards the Limerick Road, because the last road back there, it seemed to say go right. But you know, sometimes signposts that say right on a dot matrix board or whatever it's called. I'm heading for Newport and Maru. Maru is 7 away. Look, feck it, as they say. Sure, tis grand. Tis grand. Who cares? Why would I change that now? Why am I going to join? It's 6 minutes past six. 5 minutes past six. I'm joining Nick Holloway Vox for a quiet bit of contemplation. But rather than leave you hanging in silence, I'm going to talk my way through it without hesitation, deviation, or repetition, as if I could possibly be on that particular radio station show which I have always admired and I always wanted to be. Repetition of always, ding dong dang, okay, okay, Stephen Fry, you're next. Right, now I can tell you. Boing. Well done, Stephen, you've actually done it again. You've got the whole way through that show. And you might as well go off and run Q1. Stephen Fry, is he not the most quintessentially brilliant human being? I mean, is there anything one could say negatively about Stephen Fry? I mean, I reckon that the brand Stephen Fry is about as untainted as anything. And even the knowledge and information that Stephen Fry once did a bunk and abandoned a stage play and ran off to somewhere like Belgium and buried himself. I might have a lot of the facts wrong here, but cut off from the rest of the world and actually has what is called bipolar. He goes up and down, you know, he can have fierce depressions and he can be elated. Doesn't take his medication, he's likely to suffer a lot from it. But Stephen Fry is the better human being for being bipolar. I mean, that's not to say he likes being bipolar. He may belong to the Spike Milligan school of, you know, there's bugger all good about my mental health weakness. But Stephen Fry is one of the great human beings. And not just grace in the sense that he's kind and gentle and all that stuff. And I know it's Thanksgiving weekend and this is being recorded on a Friday of Thanksgiving. And he's in a form of Thanksgiving for the blessings that have been bestowed on us all. Whether we are from the tradition of boat refugees, boat people from Europe who sailed across the Atlantic, weren't they the first boat people, you know, waifs and strays landed on the shores of, was it New Jersey, was it Maine? Where did they land and where did they survive their first winter? Where do they meet their first Indians, I'm saying to myself? And how much thanks do they give for meeting first Indians, those of them who had barely survived and gave thanks. Look, I'm not asking you to tell me the story of the discovery, you know, late in the day by the Europeans of North America. And anyway, didn't the Irish monks get to North America way before Columbus? Didn't Brendan the Voyager, you know, saddle his curricle? Nelly the Elephant. There are actually two things. Nelly the Elephant escaping from the circus, and the Owl and the Pussycat went to sea in a beautiful pea-green boat. They took some money and plenty of honey. Tied up. in a million pound note.